Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tan G Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tan G. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tan G, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tan G. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tan G.
Hi, thank you so very much for joining us again. This is Dr. Tan G on the air with you. I am so very, very grateful that you took time to say, you know what, I'm going to listen in. And by the evident of the number of texts, the number of views, the number of DMs and well wishes, I am so humbled. You have no earthly idea. I'm grateful. I'm truly, truly grateful. And thank you so very much. Today, we've got a wonderful person that is going to be a guest, our very first guest of the show, Miss Audra Bryant, and she brings so much wealth of information and experiences, and her story is just one that is just mind-boggling. It was so wonderful that our producer said to me, you know what, I think you're ready now to have somebody. Didn't you, Jeannie, say that?
I did, because you're always ready, Dr. Tanji.
Well, thank you so very much. Flattery gets you everywhere. So I hope, again, that you are listening, that you want to call in. You know that you are very welcome to do that. I'm Instagram at Dr. Tanji Show. Facebook is at Dr. Tanji Show. And the number to reach us here is 323-203-0815. So I will not be long-winded this afternoon or this evening if you're listening to us on the East Coast and what have you. But I do want to bring four kingdom keys or principles to your attention. And then we are going to hear from this wonderful woman that is so busy, productively busy, that she said, you know what, absolutely, I'll come. So thank you so very much, Miss Audra, for coming. I want to just make certain that we're all kind of on the same page. And I told you once before that the show is not a show to make anyone feel bad or make you think that, okay, now, so what are you saying, Dr. Tanji? What I have been doing does not work. I'm only here to inspire, to motivate, to provide the resources, to give you a new perspective of looking at things that have already been written. We read it, but we were reading it with the connotation of, okay, I can do this, and it's only kind of regulated for when I go to church or when I go to the building, which is not necessarily so, because I want you to be able to use these principles, these truths, and that is what a principle is. It is a truth that helps you govern how you think and how you act in the marketplace and, of course, in your life, period, whether you're in the marketplace or whether you are at home behind closed doors. There was an illustration or a commandment that was given to us. We were to be fruitful. And for the longest time, I thought that fruitfulness meant to have children. And, okay, you're laughing at me. I think I hear you in my spirit laughing. But in all actuality, being fruitful really means just being productive. What are you going to bring to the market? See, there's an instance where God will only and always, when he places a demand, then he'll always give you seed for that demand. So you've got that product in you. So it is our objective to get it out. And to do that, it requires you to really spend some time with you. Block out the noise. Get to know who you are. What makes you think the way you think? Why is it that one day you're happy, the next you're sad, one minute you're excited? I mean, and for all intents and purposes, you got to be careful not to kind of be, I don't want to say that word there. So just be careful how you are honestly tackling or getting ready to administer new thoughts and new ideologies. So that productiveness in being fruitful, as Genesis 1:28 tells us, be fruitful. And the second key is to multiply. Now, multiplication, the way God sees it, is reproducing what you've produced. That's the multiplication. And the replenish, the distribution. Once you've got that product and you're ready to take it to market, well, you got to make certain that it falls in line of those keys that he told us, of that command, which was be fruitful, which is productivity, multiplying, which is reproducing, replenish, which is distribution, and then the last one, of course, is subdue. And as easy as that subduction or subduing sounds, it really is an order or a command for you to control the market. What product are you bringing to market? And when you are ready, when you have all of those principles or those truths ready, then you're ready to go. And it can be a wonderful thing because you are now having the results of dominion. And when you are dominating, you're managing. Okay, we got to get out of our heads that we own anything. We own absolutely nothing. We really want to be good stewards over what we've been allowed to have while we're here on assignment. So I told you I would not be long. I hope I didn't rush. I will have these truths posted so that you can get them. But again, your fruitfulness is being productive. When you're multiplying, you're reproducing. When you are replenishing, you are distributing, or that means to distribute. And when you are subduing, you are really controlling the market. You're not running after dominion. That's a result of your applying these key principles to your life. And with that said, I would like now to ask that proverbial question that, if you've ever gone to a How Did I Get Here conference, you'll always hear me ask the question, how did I get here? And you'll find yourself asking that question, how did I get here? And now that I'm here, what do I do with it? So with that being said, I'd like to introduce the woman who has just been such an inspiration. She's enlightened me. She has been a blessing, and everywhere she goes, she even has the ability to make you laugh. As pretty as she is, she's a comedian, she's an author, she is a producer, she's written for the Steve Harvey Show. Is that right, Audra?
Yeah, I've worked as a producer for Steve Harvey, yes.
Absolutely. And what else? I'm sorry.
And also as a casting producer for America's Got Talent.
How about that? I wish I had known that. I would have been there singing. I don't sing.
And it's okay. Some of those people didn't either.
There you go with the honesty already. Look, this is Hollywood. Let them know, Audra Bryant.
She's in the right environment.
I said that with love.
So, Audra, tell me, you talk about scars.
Yes.
And not to get ahead of myself, but, you know, that's brutally honest. And you've even got a way of not even hiding your scars. Tell me, please.
Okay. So I was burned when I was a year and a half.
Okay.
So it was a scalding hot cup of coffee that I pulled onto myself.
Wow.
And I had 6 surgeries between the ages of 2 and 16.
Wow.
And I didn't look at myself change clothes in the mirror until I was 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I wanted to avoid seeing my scars.
Absolutely.
So so it's definitely, you know, been a challenge.
Absolutely.
Just accepting myself, accepting what I look like, accepting my scars.
Mm.
And I recently released a song entitled Scars.
Yeah. Yes.
And a music video as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's what it is. But of course, you go from not looking at yourself, change clothes in the mirror, to wow. you're 25 and to, you know, releasing a song. Mm-hmm. But it was a whole bunch going on in between there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you talk about in your discography, the scar, and how you said it so beautifully just now. What made you say, you know what? I got to do it. I got to look at myself.
Okay. So I had, you know, let me take it back a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
So at 3 years old, mm-hmm. I was in dance class. Okay. And like 3 and 4, I was taking ballet. Mm-hmm. And so I had, you know, you have to wear the little unitards yeah. and so forth. And so I just remember all the kids coming up to me and saying, like, what's that? What happened? You know, they weren't being mean.
For
they
sure.
were just, you
For
know,
sure.
inquisitive.
Being children. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that just made me say, that made me recoil. Like, I don't want anybody asking me questions, okay. that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then 10 years old, crying in my mom, you know, in my mom's room. Nobody's ever going to want to marry me because of the scar at 10. Like,
at
what's going
10.
On?
Yeah.
And then, you know, going through puberty and adolescence, okay. you see girls are starting to develop, you mm-hmm. know, their cleavage. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see that. They're showing, you know, having the V-neck shirts on. Right. And I'm walking around with a turtleneck. Like, it's 80 degrees out here. Okay. Audra, why you got the turtleneck okay. on? What's going on, ma'am?
Okay.
So, you know, I wound up carrying that mentality into my adulthood mm-hmm. until, you know, childhood. One of my closest friends, childhood friend, mm-hmm. she would just, you know, she would see me tugging at my clothes all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm 22, 23. She's like, what's up with that? Like, why are you doing that?
Right.
And I would say, you know, I just don't want anybody, you know, to see it. I would have a crew neck shirt right. on. I would never right. wear anything that was like a scoop neck or wow. a V-neck or anything like that.
Okay.
And so she just would constantly, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And then I finally started to feel weird mm-hmm. amongst my own friends. Like, well, they don't seem to care. Like mm-hmm. I would even date okay. guys.
Okay.
And they would see it, even mm-hmm. though I was incredibly, like, mm-hmm. you know, I would cover it right. constantly, like, please don't,
right.
you know, and they're like, I don't see, it's not really a big deal to me. Like, what's the problem? So what I wound up wow. finding out is that everybody else was okay with mm-hmm. it, except for me.
Except for you. Okay.
And so I finally had to, and I'd already asked God, cause I would pray about it. And I was just like, God, like, why did you want me to be, why did you give me the desire to sing and to be in front of people and then allow something like this to happen to me? Because everybody in Hollywood is perfect. Everybody on TV is perfect. And I'm obviously not perfect. So why would you even right. want me to mm-hmm. feel like I want to do this?
Right, right.
And it's not until I was 25 uh-huh. that I felt in my spirit that question was answered. Like, why would you give me scars, God? Why? Not until I was 25 was that answered.
Wow. You know, there's a taboo mm-hmm. in our culture and our community where we don't necessarily go to seek out physicians for mental health. If it's depression, if it's, you know, mm-hmm. what have you, suicidal tendencies or whatever that looks like mentally. Mm-hmm. Were you ever challenged to perhaps, and I say challenged, were you ever faced with, you know what, maybe I need to just kind of talk with someone because I'm beautiful. I look in the mirror until I guess, pull my top down or up. So did you ever feel like you wanted to get or seek professional help?
Well, one, I never felt like I was beautiful. I will be very honest about that.
Thank you for your honesty.
I actually had to do some mirror, what I call mirror work.
Okay.
And tell myself that I'm beautiful and learn to receive it from myself.
First.
So that was a whole other thing.
Okay.
As far as therapy is concerned, I didn't mm-hmm. think mm-hmm. that it was even therapy worthy. to be honest. I didn't think that, you know, I thought it was just a thing that I did and it's not a big deal. I just don't look at myself and change clothes in the mirror. I avoid mirrors. That just became a normal thing. Like, okay, I put one pants leg on at a time. That's just how normal it was for me.
Thank you so very much for your honesty. We call it the HA system.
Absolutely. And that's so brutally honest because we have, as women, young girls developing, that's something that's constantly bombarded from images, promoted that when you don't see anything like yourself, or even people feeling a discomfort with moles, whether it's keloids, our weight, complexion, features, and we can go on and on. So I'm glad you brought that up because most people don't say that. What we feel is therapy worthy, because if we're naturally strong, some of our personalities are confident. You already knew you were a performer at four. So would that be a problem just because you were scarred? Excellent, excellent that you brought that up, because a lot of people don't know when, and sometimes people like you learn to work through. But that's because obviously somebody in your life or things that were instilled in you helped you, you know, be stronger. Because somebody else would not have handled it that way at that point. I'm not beautiful. I'm not this. I'm not the standard. A lot of times, unfortunately, our babies and young people are deciding to end their lives at that point.
And that is a big problem. It is. Thank you so much, Jeannie, for that. You were going to say, I'm sorry.
And I will say, I feel like I was actually, I was able to hide it. You can still see a little bit, like if I, like a shirt that I have on now, you can't really see it.
You cannot.
Unless I turn, you know, my face, you can see a little bit on my neck.
Okay.
But I had the fortune and misfortune at the same time of being able to hide it. And so the thing is that I felt okay as long as I was hidden. But at the same time, that's the very thing that caused me to not really love myself, because I wasn't being honest with myself. I wasn't revealing all of myself. Therefore, I was not forcing myself to accept all of myself.
Absolutely.
So, you know, some people have situations and things that they can't physically hide. You know, certain occurrences that have happened that aren't so easy to cover up, so to speak. So, you know, I would love to say that I was incredibly strong, but at the same time, not so much.
Really?
It was a process. I'll just say that. That everything, all of it was a process.
So to get the courage to write about it, that's impeccable in and of itself. Honestly, it is, because you could have easily segued into another characteristic that you wanted to bring, you know, in the forefront, like being a comedian or, you know, easily. So what made you say, you know what, I'm going to put this in a song. I'm going to write about it.
Well, let's go back to my revelation.
Thank you.
The revelation that I had at 25, God, why are these, why do I have scars? What's up with that? Why do I have this? And I felt in my spirit, God said, everybody has scars. Some on the outside, some on the inside.
Absolutely.
That right there was like, whoa. Because I never felt like that. I never, ever felt like anybody else goes through anything. All I could see was my own pain. All I could see was my own, you know, how ugly I was and how I would have been better if this had not happened. So I always felt, though, from that point of revelation, I said, okay, well, if I'm a singer, all right, you know, I've been writing songs since I was eight. So it's just like, okay, I want to write a song about this. And I said that at 25. Now, I'm not trying to tell everybody my age or nothing like that. I'm not trying to put myself out there in these streets like that. But I'm going to just put it like this. It was a nice period of time that went through that it took a nice chunk of time before I was able to actually write a song that was actually a song that I felt is most fitting. And I'll say it like, because at first I thought I was going to write a sad song. Because when I first had the revelation, I still hadn't fully embodied, you know, and embraced the scars. I still wasn't very comfortable with them. It was just like, okay, a child kind of learning to walk. It was like that. So I'm not going to write this, and here's my story. I'm so empowered. I couldn't write that song at that time. It took years of it took time of learning myself and actually revealing myself to the world. I remember the first time that I act like it was kind of like my scars coming out party, so to speak. And it was at a church barbecue. We had a pool party, right?
Was this in Detroit or
this
LA?
Was out here in LA.
Oh, okay.
So we had a pool party for my church choir. And I had a two-piece bathing suit. So I had a bikini. I was like, these people might think I'm being fast right now.
I was like, where are you congregating?
Oh, yes.
Like, I'm so I'm like, where they do that at? Like, okay.
Okay.
But mercy.
Like, they didn't understand. This was my breakthrough. Okay. Yeah, I was like, look, y'all can go ahead and judge my little swimsuit, but y'all don't understand. This is the first time I'm letting anybody, because I would always wear a t-shirt going swimming. Please. Wow. It was not even a question.
Okay.
And so for me to not have on a t-shirt in front of other people in a pool of water, and I'm looking around. I mean, you understand, I'm looking around. I'm like, everybody see it. Everybody see it. Oh my God. What they trying to say? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it was liberating.
Oh my gosh.
Cause it was the first time that I let someone see me, and it was scary. But it was refreshing, but it was scary. It was all that.
It was all that.
It was all that going on.
I absolutely love that. And I'm sitting here imagining you're being at that party and you're being able to be open, honest, sincere, as naked with truth. So thank you. Thank you so, so very much. So I've got to ask that question. I ask about the scars. How did you get here? How did you get here?
How did I get to this this space?
Just wherever here is for you right now, how did you get here?
I going back to the mirror work. I started looking at myself. I had to force myself to look at myself in the mirror. So I did it in like tiny little increments. Like I'd be getting dressed or whatnot, and I would glance at the mirror and then look away. Again and look away. And then over time, I was able to kind of look a little bit longer. So maybe 3 seconds. And then look away. And I kept going until I eventually got to the space where I was able to actually look consistently at myself while I changed clothes. And then sometimes I would linger and look at the scars, and because these are keloids, that's what they are. They're just scar tissue. And I was able to see the pattern, and I'm like, and because I would hear other people say things like, oh, that looks kind of like a leaf, or, oh, that looks like this, or, you know, all these different things. And I started to get familiar with my body. I started to get familiar with the stuff that I was just like, oh, why does this do this? You know, and so it was just that. I started to commune with myself. And it took time. And going back to the beauty, I wouldn't even, here's how my mind was. I would look at baby pictures of myself at one point in time and not think I was cute. I would judge my baby. How are you going to judge your baby picture? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how much I was so, like, my mind was, like, warped with regard to my own scars because I didn't see my beauty. So I started saying to myself, I just did affirmations. In the morning when I brushed my teeth, I said, I am beautiful. And I just, and then at night when I brush my teeth, I am beautiful. It was weird at first. Yeah. It was like foreign.
Right, right, right.
You know, and then I got to the point where over time, and I remember I started this specifically, I started this in October of whatever year that was. And I had gone home to Michigan, hung out with one of my guy friends, and he, you know, just a platonic friend. And he was just like, hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? You know, da, 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 da. You know, he thinks, you know, he always thought I was pretty or whatnot. But that's my homie. And it was normal. Started doing the affirmations in October. Went back Christmas. In December. And I had been doing my affirmations every day. He looked at me when I got there and he was like, wow, like you look really beautiful. Like, I had not changed my hair. I hadn't done anything else outside of these affirmations. I did not let him know that I had been doing these affirmations. He said, you look prettier somehow. That was what I know from that experience is that was my insides felt. I felt it from the inside out.
That's it.
And it reflected on the outside. that's the only explanation I have for that. So,
I love it.
You know, that's the work that I've done. And as far as where I am now, I'm just, I'm so grateful. I'm really grateful.
You can like, tell. Your smile is everything, you know?
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, like being able to speak with you, being able to speak with the audience and just, you know, hopefully someone is hearing this and connecting with this somehow. Like my scars, which I felt were the bane of my existence, was I felt like actually stopped me from being my best self. I feel like I'm so grateful for my scars because now my scars have given me a platform to help heal other people, to help encourage other people, which I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to encourage people because I feel like the people who need the most encouragement are the ones who love to do the encouraging. And absolutely. That's me.
That's me. That would be me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm just, I'm so grateful. So, I'm just, I know I'm going on and on.
No. I love it.
Beautiful. A testimony is everything.
Absolutely. You better believe it is.
And it always applies no matter where you are in your life. I mean, somebody's listening now that is a teen, that is somebody in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And like, it applies all the time. That's what I love about this. On the Dr. Tanji show.
Yes.
Dr. Tanji. How did you get here?
Hey, first of all, I like the way that rolls off your tongue. Dr. Tanji.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. Oh, and the place is coming. Oh, yes.
I'm excited.
Well, let me segue into that. I've got this pet peeve about titles, and that's one of the reasons why I don't practice. One of the many reasons I don't practice. When I was in over at Atlanta Medical Center, or maybe I shouldn't have said that word there, but when I was there, I would see all the white coats with their stethoscopes, and I was happened to be one, you know, a little chocolate drop, kind of walking around with them, and I had to remember my vow, because you don't make vows and then renege. You just don't do that. We say promises. I made a vow. I want to go to med school. I went to med school at 31 years old with three children and two dogs and divorced. Right. And here I am at 10, backing up 10 years old, telling people I'm going to be a doctor. You see my big hands, and I'm going to deliver babies. And, you know, the kids laughing at me. Some believe me. Some are like, well, you know, you sound good, Tanji. You could be a real good teacher. School teacher. I'm like, no, I want to be a school teacher. I want to be a doctor, you know, and an actress. So I remember running, we were living in the projects, and I ran home to my mama, my Annie. And I said, Annie, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor. I want to deliver babies, and I want to travel the world. And I remember what she asked me. Do you believe in God? And at 10 years old, I heard my Aunt Flora talk about him, and I've heard you talk about him, and I see that he makes you feel good, because every time you talk about him, you cry or you get happy or you sing. So, yeah, I believe in him. She said, well, then, Pudi, you can do anything you put your mind to. I believed it. And I said that only to say, you exemplify, you can do anything that you put your mind to. Your story is so vast and so rich. And we were talking about titles. So I'm walking around, and I noticed how the powers that be were talking with the patients, and I got offended. And what I learned, that I was actually operating in principle, truth, and didn't know it. Your passion should make you angry. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Your purpose should make you angry, because you're going to do something about it. You've got a message, and you want to tell somebody. This right here had me handicapped for so long. Your scar had you handicapped for so long, and you masked it, and you pretended for so long. So finally you said, you know what? I'm done. It's almost as if you were made free by the truth that you're not this. This is your platform. It is not who you are, because you're spirit. You just happen to be in a body with a mind, will, and emotion, which is your soul, you know? So you're man in three, you know, you're a 3D person, not just a one individual, 1D, you know, one-dimensional person. So it was about the title. And they were talking to these patients, these physicians, as if they were nothing. Bed, whatever. Bed, whatever. And I'm standing there. And I'm trying to keep from crying, because I'm thinking, no, you're missing it. Those who are great among you, they must serve. We didn't come here to be served. We came to serve. That's why we get the knowledge, and we serve, and we share our gifts. See, your gift will always make room. It will. It's a law. It's like the law of gravity. Mm-hmm. If I get on top of this building and I can speak in tongues, I can, and I love to. That's my communication. I can pray and I can fast for 40 days and 40 nights. But if I get up on this roof and jump down, I'm going to break some bones if I survive. You see? The law is built in. So when freedom came, it was your, you said, an anthem. It was your release. It was your party at the pool party at church. And you were like, you know what? I'm putting this two-piece on. And it really doesn't matter what you think about me. I'm going to do it. So I want to commend you for that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You said, living your best life now. Mm-hmm. And that has been a soliloquy of mine for the longest. Now, doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes, because if you're looking at the word perfect, it means to be mature. You know, this culture says to be without flaw. He didn't want us to be without flaw. He wants us to be mature. So your gander in, I'm going to go to LA and I'll ask you how you got here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to live. And that's what you're doing. When I met you, we had a function Saturday night, and this woman here is just a phenomenal lady that yes. has a care about children and what goes on with them. So thank you, Jeannie, so much for yes. inviting us, allowing thank us you. To take part in that, in something amazing. That's so much bigger than we are. And I met you, and I'm thinking, wow, before I met you, I saw you. And I saw you, and you were smiling. And it's just something about a smile. Man, wow. If you smile, people will smile back. Mm-hmm. They really will. Yeah. They do. And you're free. Yeah. You're free. You represent freedom.
Well, I found people kind of getting a little... shock sometimes when you smile. They're so not used to getting that. If you say hey or someone's how you doing and you go great, they're like, whoa, they'll do a yeah. double take, like yeah. really yeah. Oh, yeah. I need some of what you had. Yeah. And especially when everybody's hustling, grinding in life, we're unfortunately living in a very turbulent time where, you know, hate and fear is promoted more than understanding and love and right. being supportive. And people a lot of times are shocked when you smile. Imagine if we do that some more.
Wow.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And so it's really refreshing. It's just so refreshing to connect with people, with women who embody that. Who, you know, because at the end of the day, you have to live in a space, like a spiritual space. Mm. Like if all you're living is just about matter and what's happening at the moment and the stuff that you can touch at the moment, then you're not able to be free.
Absolutely.
Because you feel bound by what's your circumstances. Right.
Absolutely.
But if you're able to pull back and think higher than your circumstances,
that's good.
Then you're able to create something new.
Uh-huh.
And that is a really, really, really exciting space to be in. Absolutely. Where you're like, oh, okay. So I don't have to be limited by my scars or my personal past experiences. Yeah. Oh, I can actually, like, let me figure out, like, how I can allow this to help me.
Wow.
And that's really what it is. A lot of times if you ask yourself, how can I do this?
Yeah.
Your brain starts thinking how you can do that.
Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
How can I, and that's what I had to ask myself, like, how can I allow this scar to work for me and to serve me in my greater purpose?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, I always wanted to write a song about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I, you know, a couple years ago, I would have loved to have said, hey, you like to hear a song about it? Here you go. I would love to have, but I wasn't ready for it yet.
So you decided to use your art.
I used my art.
Absolutely.
I used it. I said, you know, even with the music video, and some people might look at it and say, because, you know, I had my little thighs out, a little bit of that. Had my little something. Had some,
come on.
Had some body paint on.
You got your hat.
And if you don't understand, if you don't know me,
yeah,
then you'll think that, oh, that's just, you know, that's easy, normal. That's what people do.
Right.
No. Even my mama was proud of me. She was like, girl, you done got out there. What you showing your scars? What you showing your body? Praise the Lord. Like when your mama's praising the Lord that you're showing yourself, then you know that you have been hiding. My friends saw the video and they were like, I'm so glad that you're that same friend that said, why do you keep pulling and tugging on your shirt? Told me, oh my God, like, I'm so proud of you for this video. I'm so proud of you. You're showing yourself. Thank God that you're showing yourself. And this is not specifically, this is not just about the physicality of it. Right. It's about you're showing who you truly are as a human being, who God made you to be. Mm-hmm. You're allowing it to be.
Yeah.
You're allowing yourself to be. And that's what I started to really see, is that we hold ourselves back from being everything that God's created us to be, because we don't feel like we look a certain way. We need to look this way. We don't have this kind of job. We don't make this kind of money. We're not married to this person. We're not married. We're not this. We're not whatever.
Right.
And it's like, you're limiting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you take, when you just be like, you know what, look, okay, so real talk.
Right.
I don't have this going on. I ain't got no car. Real talk. I ain't got no this. I ain't got no whatever.
Right.
That's not, I don't have that right now. Right. So what?
Right.
Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I can, like, I,
you
have a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
You manifest
whatever
it is that you desire in life.
Right.
But when you when you're just so focused on what you don't have, instead of focused on what you really want and desire for yourself, then you don't get what you want, because you're focused on the wrong thing. When you focus on this is what I want,
right?
And I'm so glad, Dr. Tanji, that Audra brought that up, because us, you know, your fan base and the ATL has slipped in your DM, and in about 5 minutes, you're going to find out why they're asking you, how did I get here? Can't wait for y'all to hear this. And then, Audra, you were gracious enough to blessed so many young women in Los Angeles at a young women's conference at LMU, Loyola Marymount University. It was a conference to inspire young women to do the mirror check. And you shared your song, Scars. Do you mind sharing a few seconds of that, the beautiful lyrics, so we understand, you know, where that is, and somebody else thinking, I can't write, or I can't do my journal, or testify, or pray. They'll understand, you know, that you have options.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Of course.
Absolutely.
It's been such a long time since I looked myself in the eye, and I can't believe I'm so fly yet, oh, this time I've been so blind. But look at me now, I thought I had to be perfect in order to be worth it. I thought I had to be flawless to accept all this. I got scars, baby. I got flaws, baby. I'm trying to break down these walls, baby. But tell me, am I still beautiful, beautiful, beautiful?
Woo!
Look. The scars, the beautiful, the mirror, the Dr. Todd. Look, the tour is coming. Look, I'm telling you, look out for Dr. Tanji, Audra Bryant in the lounge section, and then I'll do the party late night. No, I mean, that was everything I needed.
Yes.
All of the, everything, the principles you provided, and then, you know, I'm waiting for your acoustic session. I'm just going high in the audience, and I may hit, like, a few percussions. Like, okay.
Yes.
I hidden talents, too.
Yes.
But, Jeannie, she used, and unbeknownst, or maybe even beknown to you, you used all four keys. You used all four principles. You're productive. You reproduced, you distributed, and you took control of the market. So you are, that's why you can say, you know what, I really am successful, because these truths don't lie. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so, so very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Tanji. Thank you, Jeannie. Like, I just appreciate you guys, you ladies, for giving me this opportunity to speak, to share.
Yeah.
I don't take that lightly. Yeah. And it's healing. It really is healing to show who you are and be honest and open about your truth.
Right.
Even the things that you know, don't feel as confident in, you know, you gain confidence in sharing your testimony and sharing your story.
Absolutely.
So I just appreciate this opportunity, this platform. I'm so excited.
I got so much today already. Look what happens in minutes. I mean, and then you tried to make me cry.
Yeah.
Now see, I had to go think about something real quick that happened last night to get the tears to dry away. Right? No, I'm being honest right now. I was like, get it together, Jay. Okay, keep going. And the computer, you produce. Okay.
You're so funny. What question has come across the wire, Miss Jeannie?
Okay, well, Dr. Tanji, this slipped into your DM on Instagram from Atlanta.
Yes, ma'am.
It reads, "Hello, Dr. Tanji. I'm Beverly in ATL, and I'm not sure how I got here, but I know I need to prevent myself from being here and making mistakes again in my life. I've been in a 2-year relationship that's toxic and with a man who is verbally abusive. Of course, the relationship was great at first year, and with no detection of my man being abusive, and now I feel insecure for the first time in my life. Dr. Tanji, I was in a very supportive and constructive relationship before this current relationship, but because he wasn't the right complexion I wanted, the height that I wanted, I allowed a great guy to get away that I now know was a man I not only needed, but who I believe God sent to be supportive and unconditionally caring that I a lot to get away. I want to know what do you suggest I do or checklist I create on what's important when deciding who to allow in my space and life and when to release them.
Wow. Mm. Wow, Beverly, first and foremost, whew, thank you.
Beth,
thank you.
You coming on tour with us too.
right. This is an example.
Right. Scooping up women in every market.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much, Beverly, for reaching out to me. I do not take that lightly nor for granted that you shared a lot of what unfortunately happened in your life. I don't want to use the word challenge because I don't want you to be challenged right now. I want you to be healed and I want you to be made whole. And the very, very first thing to do that is to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. It's okay. And I'm not taking anything away from where you have been, but I gotta get you to forgive yourself. And the true art of forgiveness, even when it's dealing with us, is forgetting. Forgetting the past hurts, forgetting what was said. But, because we operate in the space of openness, honesty, and sincerity, you gotta make a change. And it needs to be now. I want you to get back to what used to make you smile. I want you to get back to what used to make you sing. And for me, Bev, it's prayer. And I don't throw my, you know, prayer life and any other things that I hold very sacred and dear to me on other people. That's not fair. But because you are so great, because you were born with everything that you need to be successful and some kind of way you believed a lie, I've come to tell you that's a lie, babe. I'm sorry. Just plain and simple. It's a lie. And yes, we can pray for our significant others and our partners and our spouses. And at the end of the day, if they are hurting you and it hurts and you have said, listen, you're hurting me, then you're going to have to make a change. That change could be taking one step. And it may look like you're going backwards. But because you know now that you really are great and that you really have to do what you've got to do to get busy with your purpose in this earth, you don't have any time. You have absolutely no time to waste. I've been where you were. I said that. And the worst thing that happens in relationships that are toxic like that, I may not have been beaten physically, but when I looked in the mirror and I said, oh my God, you know, maybe they were right. Maybe I really am ugly. Or, man, maybe this is as good as it gets. So, you know, I can't do any better. But that's a lie. And I'm here to tell you, it is. It won't happen anymore. It stops now. And I want you to say to yourself, you know what, Beverly, we're coming out of this. We, because you're man in three persons, you're getting up out of there. It may look like you're having to sleep on somebody's sofa. It may look like you may even have to go back and live with mom and dad or maybe even friends. But whatever it looks like, just know that everything is working for your good. Mm-hmm. And it won't last. It won't last like that because all is well. It is so very, very well. Today is your new. It's your new. Get up. Get busy. I don't care if you have to scream, if you have to shout, if you have to run around, but whatever you do, you get busy in purpose. When you're in purpose, you'll never work another day in your life. You won't, because you'll be serving us with your gifts. And that's your purpose. Do not allow this life to rob you. And then you take everything that you were supposed to have given to us that song, that book, that tour, that move. Don't do that to us, please. I love you so very much, Bev, and I want the best for you. You'll definitely be in my prayers, and I believe my prayers. And I know that all is well, and you're good. You good. My grandson says, I got this.
Oh,
yes.
You got
that
this.
That was awesome.
You look awesome. It applies to all of us. Like, thank you. Thank you.
Can I add a little tiny bit? Because you're absolutely on it. My question is, what are you not accepting about yourself that in that past relationship that you let go because he wasn't a certain height, a certain complexion? What is it that you're not accepting of within yourself? Because you don't want to repeat that kind of pattern when you do leave this man, because this man might have, you know, fit some sort of, you know, some sort of shallow version of what you wanted.
We don't know what it was.
We don't know.
I'm going to leave it like that. But it could have been some other things.
Who knows? Right.
You know, could have been rubbing feet.
Right.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, so don't sleep on people's skills that might not always be right for us. You know how you get, slip up.
Right.
So just accept yourself too, and all of the stuff that you have within yourself, and love on yourself to the point where you're just like, I cannot physically, emotionally, or in any way be with someone that is not completely and totally loving of me.
And then you don't have to wait till Wednesday next show to be interactive with Dr. Tanji. You can find her, look, slide in all of her DMs, okay? At Dr. Tanji, and it's T-O-N-G-I-E, online, everywhere. Ask, and I know you talk to people all day, every day. She's always here. And then, Audra, before Dr. Tanji wraps up, I know so many people were inspired by your story, your music that's available for download. How can everybody contact you?
So on social media, I am Audra A. Bryant. So A-U-D-R-A. A-B-R-Y-A-N-T. So at Audra A. Bryant. You can also go to my website. You can find all of my music videos. So AudraBryant.com, AudraBryant.com. Yeah.
Good deal.
Holla at your girl.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for coming, Audra. Thank you so very, very much. And thank you guys for listening. I am grateful. I am very honored. Again, all is so very well. You've got some principles that you can apply to your daily living now. And thank you so much for joining us on the Dr. Tanji Show. And until next week, I'll be looking out for you, okay?
Look in the DM.
Thank you again.
Hope I'm not getting you in trouble, Doc.
You're not.
Hubby, we love you.
I love you so very much, guys. Bye.
Later.
You're listening to the Dr. Tanji Show with Dr. Tanji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.